The title of this message is For This Cause. For This Cause. I have a few little comments before I get into it. One day I realized why the Romans and the Jews who came to take Jesus all fell back when he said, I am he. It was not because he was God himself, but rather because he was given the Holy Spirit without measure, and God is spirit. He was the express image of the invisible God. God was pleased to have his fullness within him, and since God is spirit, that spirit without measure, and in Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and he was the Word in fullness, or meaning that the Word became flesh. And since the Word was spirit, then the spiritual Word became flesh in a man. In Joshua 1:8, somebody just read that to me the other day. It says, God speaking to Joshua said, This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night. And then in verse 9 it says, Have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you whithersoever you go. Well, this is quite a promise. And the thing about it is that we find that that promise to Moses. We find it in the book of Psalms. We find it in a lot of different places. The real prophet says, hear the word of God, while the false prophet says, hear the words of men. And I was in a situation years ago where we heard numerous prophecies, but the prophecies had to line up with whatever was being taught in the church. And so the church then is right no matter what. And when Nathan the prophet came to David and said, David, you're guilty, you're the man. David said, I am the man. And he repented and God took care of the situation. But when we adamantly insist that what we believe is the truth, or that we're right, we're standing toe-to-toe against the Creator. See, men hated the real prophets because they would not tell them what they wanted to hear. And so it is today. And I've been there, done that. I watched as someone only wanted the prophets to support what they were sure was the truth. However, the end of the matter showed me that what they believed, maybe it could have contained some truth. However, for the most part, it was not the truth, and in fact, if a prophet would have spoken the truth in that situation or in that organization, they would have been disfellowshipped. So anyway, for this cause, and one day I was doing something, and I realized how many places it says for this cause. Or, if it doesn't say it, it is insinuated. Because of this, God did this. God says, if you do this, I will do this. And if you don't do this, I will do something else. You know what I mean? And so, I would say that maybe the most major thing that we can ever realize is that God knows everything about everything. He misses nothing. And so, and while we may get to angry at the devil, the devil is only able to do that which God allows him to do. Now, this is a mystery to most of the church. God allowed the devil to be here. And then he told us to resist him. That don't make sense, does it? He put the devil here, and then he told us that we are to resist him. See, God has set all things up so as to perfect those that he created. And for his own purposes, which we can only ever get to know if we and when we continue to read and hear the words that God spoke to us through his Son, John 8:31. Well, God has given men all the evidence that they ever possibly need for his existence. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that God has made his evidence available to all men. Now, you know, I thought about that, and I thought, well, what about those in the darkest Africa or the, wherever that some of God's creation is? What about those people? And, you know, I don't live there. I don't know how God does what God does. But I'm convinced that God does, he does things for the sake of, I mean, he loves, it says that God so loved the world. They're part of it. You know, and so Romans 1:20 tells us that all men are without excuse. And just because I can't grasp what I just said, only shows my created limitations and ignorance. That's all it shows. James tells us that faith without works is dead. And in Romans 2:13-15, it tells us that not the hearers of the word or of the law of God's word are justified, but the doers. See, it's not enough to hear it. You have to do it. So here we are. We're hearing God's word. But you know what? We're going to be in a lot of trouble if we don't do what we hear. See, don't we have to hear God's word accurately, however, in truth, in order to do it in truth? We have to hear it right first in order to do it, and see, in hearing. And so hearing the lies of false doctrine will never give men a proper foundation. And yet, the lies of false doctrine are widespread throughout today's churches. But you know what? Church people don't know that. You know, churches don't know that other churches are in false doctrine. That thing that, you know, the unity through diversity, I never realized how accepted that is by even the Pentecostals. It's accepted. It's horrible, but it's accepted. And so when men somehow do the things of God by nature, or do the things with the right of God with the right conscience, then their thoughts will either accuse or excuse them on the day of judgment. That's what it says in Romans 1, in the first chapter. And so while we may question the fairness of God in because of our ignorance, you know, God leaves no stone unturned, as the old saying goes. And is not God not the most righteous of all kind of all of the judges that exist? Charlie was a good judge, but God's more righteous than Charlie was yet. And besides, did not God make all things that exist? So does he not have the right to do exactly as he wants with what he made? Doesn't he have a right to do with us whatever he wants? And so here's a great dilemma. Men seldom, if ever, know who God is, nor do they know who they are. See? Isn't that kind of our dilemma? People don't know who God is. We don't know who we are. And so millions of people who never take the time to find out if God is really real walk about on planet Earth as if God isn't really here, while a few set their hearts to find God and end up in a realm that is totally foreign to the masses. That's why it says that the world was not worthy of him, you know, back in Hebrews. One morning I realized that people seldom, if ever, realize they are being judged on earth, you know, or for this cause. You know, that's what it says, for this cause. God did this, whatever. See, those who are being turned over to do unseemly things are not even aware that they are being turned over. Or, you know, like in 1 Corinthians 5:5, where Paul said that one should be delivered over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. You know, that don't make sense to me. This man, it was not his mother, but his dad, the man had, his mother either died or he was separated and he married another woman. Well, then he left her, and his son attached himself to his father's wife. It was not his mother. You know, it was his father's wife. And Paul said this kind of thing. He said, you just don't hear about it. And so they said that this one should be turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit might be saved on the day of judgment. I have no answer for that one. See, in 1 Corinthians 11:30, we are told that if we take communion in an unworthy manner, you know, you're familiar with that, if we take communion in an unworthy manner, it says, for this cause, and that's one of the places it's plain, but what I'm saying, it's implied in lots of places in the scriptures. For this cause, we are told that men become weak and sickly. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, we are told, for this cause, because men refuse to receive a love for the truth, so that they might be saved, God will send them strong delusions. You know what? It gets kind of scary, doesn't it, Charlie? When we realize that, you know, people are in delusion, we think, oh my. Or what about Amos 8:11, you know, where the men go all over the globe to find God's word, and God says, and they shall not find it. But who decides that? God himself. They can go all over the globe looking for God's word, and he said, and they shall not find it. Why? Because they're not looking to him to get it. I appreciated what Pablo had to say this morning. And he said, you don't go someplace. You stay right here. God covers the whole globe. He's not just in some place somewhere else. He's right here. And so anyway, he said that he would send them strong delusions so that they would believe lies, so that they would all might be damned who believe not the truth and who had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, I wish that didn't apply to us and to the church. And in Matthew 19:5, God says, in verse 4, it says that God made us male and female. He didn't make Eve and Steve, or Stephen, Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. You know what I mean? And he made a male and female. And in verse 5, it says, for this cause a man shall leave father and mother and shall cleave and hold, it means to hold fast to his wife. And the two shall be one flesh. And see, that's a part of the cause. For this cause, a man shall leave father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And in fact, nowhere did God ever say that two men or two women would ever become one flesh. It's always a man and a woman. And which is understandable. I mean, that was God's will. That's God's plan. That's his purposes. And so God blesses those who believe his word, and that they believe. He blesses those who believe that the Bible is his word. You know what? It has taken me a long time of listening and listening and listening to this Bible before I became really convinced it is God's word. I had to see why it is God's word. I had to see how it is God's word. I had to understand that God is so big that he could speak to holy men of old, and he would speak his words through them, and that would become his word. They spoke, but God did the back on. You know what I mean? And so God blesses those who believe his word. He curses those who ignore it or change it to say what they want it to say. And that we see that in Galatians 1:8 and 9. And so if men come out from doctrines and churches that are contrary to God's eternal word and draw close to him, then he makes them free, he draws close to them, and they become his sons and daughters. Isn't that what it says? And so God leads and guides them into righteousness and truth. But if and when men delight in believing and promoting doctrines not found in God's holy eternal word, then for that cause, God puts a curse upon them. If they won't believe him, and they try to change what they see, God puts a curse upon them. And that we see that in Romans 8, or Galatians 1, 8 and 9. They shall receive a curse, it says. And so, and what is it? Who knows? And so, since real faith must be in the power of God. You know, that's, remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and not in the wisdom of men. Then, when churches hold a form of godliness, which apparently is not God's idea of true Christianity, a form of godliness is not God's idea, is that maybe because for this cause, and a judgment is upon those who delight in false doctrines, contrary to God's word, is that not possibly why? And in fact, since God's will is to tolerate God will never tolerate doctrines like the Trinity too long. You know, I know that this doctrine of the Trinity has been part of the Christian church for centuries. However, it is false, like a lot of other doctrines dragged along by a false system that calls itself Christian. But what puzzles me is how it can be so anti-scriptural and still be so promoted by so many churchgoers. How things like that can be so anti-scriptural. After the Bible study, I want to share something that happened today. See, that doctrine especially would be one that the devil would deceive men with, since the truth of the Godhead is a foundation for eternal life. When the Bible says, few there be that find it, you know what I'm beginning to think? I'm beginning to think that few there be that find it. Because that's a foundation. The truth here is a foundation. The truth is a foundation. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Eternal life is to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. That's what eternal life is. Do you see what the devil has done here? And so in John 17:3, and of course, those who find the truth will be hated and persecuted by those who buy into the false doctrines. And so in Matthew 18:3, it tells us, except. Why do we have those words in there? Except men become converted. It doesn't say, it would be nice if you became converted. It says, unless and except you become converted, and I would like to put in here, and approach God as little children. You don't become little children. It says become as, but you approach God as little children. You cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you know what? The kingdom is here. The kingdom is within us. So it is something that has to happen to us in this life. And I saw something today as Pablo was up here talking. And it had to do with the fact that the word of God, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're spirit and they're life. And the 10 virgins that, you know, he was mentioning about, was it him who was talking about the 10 virgins? I think so. And somebody was. And the fact that five of them had oil in their lamps and five didn't. Or they had oil, but they didn't have any left. I don't know what they didn't have. But anyway, I'm really, really wondering, since the Bible talks so much about having the Word of God in us, if it was not God's Word that is as valuable as the Spirit or anything else. See, the Word is Spirit. So the Holy Spirit works with the Spirit Word, which is Spirit. The Word of God is a sword of the Holy Spirit, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, what about the great ones of today with their enticing words of great intellectual wisdom, who see Bible colleges and seminaries with educated instructors who are organized or educated in the false doctrines of a variety of organizations as those who build foundations within the next upcoming church leaders. I personally know of those who had what I believed to be a halfway decent understanding of Bible truths, who finished tribal college as spiritual nitwits. I don't know, they wouldn't appreciate being called that, but in fact, I read a testimony years ago from a man who said that his son went to Bible college as a Bible-believing Christian and came home as an atheist. A few years ago, I talked to an old friend and told him about listening day and night to the scriptures. Well, anyway, the other day he stopped in. And come to find out, when I talked to him about the scriptures, he's been listening to the scriptures for several years. And it has transformed his life. I was amazed at some of the things that he had to say. And I said, God bless you. Because he has the same revelation that has happened to so many. He said, the churches don't go by God's word. And but the thing that really affected me was the fact that he is pretty much coming to the same, well, yeah, that we are coming to the same conclusions. See, it is the Holy Spirit that takes the word of God and uses it to reveal spiritual truth. When the Holy Spirit is come, he will lead and guide you into all truth. Well, I'm not capable of containing all truth, but I want as much truth as I can get. And, you know, there's something that happened to me down deep inside. I am not trying to prove my doctrine anymore. I want the truth. I want it. I want the truth. In Zechariah 4, 6, it says, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Now, Zerubbabel was a king that was kind of like David. He was a godly king. And God said to him, he said, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, we're familiar with that scripture, but it impacted me the other day. And see, you and I and the rest of creation are pretty much in the dark as to how God did whatsoever he did. We don't know how God did whatsoever he did. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and verses 6 and 7, it appears, I didn't realize that until I happened to read it the other day, it appears that in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, that the earth was covered with water. Did you realize that, Charlie? It was covered with water. And then in verse 9, it said God brought the dry land up from the water. I've read that before, but it didn't register with me. And then in verse 10, it says that God called the dry land earth, and he called the waters seas. And so at the time of the flood, it kind of seems to me like he sort of went back to the very beginning. He just covered it with water again. But anyway, in Zechariah, God led us on a major secret. It is not by the might of great bombs or any human power, but rather the force to be reckoned with is the Holy Spirit of God. And so, not only is the Holy Spirit all-powerful, but is able to cause God's eternal word to accomplish whatsoever God said that it would do. Okay, which then makes the Word of God the sword of the Holy Spirit. And I'm starting to understand that. You know, that's a mystery. How many people read that and understand what it says in Ephesians 6:17? And so then the Holy Spirit was the Word of God in truth as the most powerful of all weapons, so that in Hebrews 4:13... You know what it says? You know, Hebrews 4:13 says, for the word of God is quick, life-giving, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, in the next verse, it says, all things are open and naked before that word who was, and I'm saying who was with God and who is God. And then verse 12, with the Holy Spirit using God's word, he is able to discern, which means to see clearly the thoughts as well as the intents within men's hearts. You know what? It uses the word he. and he can discern or something in there. And I'm thinking, are we talking about the Holy Spirit as a he, or are we talking about God? See, the word is God. You know, I don't know or have I heard of anything that is able to see clearly the thoughts and the intents within some man's heart. I've never heard of such a thing, which separates God's word from all other things that exist. See, God's word is one of a kind. It's different. And that's what I began to see. I saw that 15 years ago. I didn't understand things I understand now. I began to look at it, and I thought, there's not any other book like that. This is the strangest book that exists. All of the books have their shortcomings, and you can find fault with them. But this one here, this is a strange one. It's full of these ifs and you know, accepts and unlesses, and it's full of them. And from Genesis to Revelation. And so, Adam and Eve were told, you know, that in the day that they ate of the fruit of that tree, they're going to die. And the devil came to Eve and he said, oh, you know, you're not going to die. Don't worry about it. And isn't that kind of how mankind is? We don't worry about it. We just put it off for another day. In 1 Corinthians 2:11, we read that what man knows the things of man except the human spirit that is in man? Okay? What man knows the things of man? You know, I don't really know as much about myself as my spirit does that's within me. And I can't explain that, but I know that that's true. There's a part of me that knows things that he will bring it up sometimes. However, the Holy Spirit knows all things of that nature and more. And therefore, working with our spirit, we are an open book before the Lord and his word. We're open. We're just like an open book, every one of us. In Matthew 15:6, as well as quite a few other places, we are told that unscriptural traditions make the word of God of no effect. How could that be? How could traditions make God's word of no effect? What can stop God's word? What can affect God's word? You know what the traditions do? They cause an unscriptural type of a faith. The faith has changed. See, with faith is what moves the mountains. And so if you can believe, you can say to this mountain. Or if you can believe, you know, that's faith. But if you have traditions that teach you wrong thoughts, and so in the case in 2 Timothy 3:5, it says, where men have only a form of godliness, but yet deny God's power. Well, why did they deny God's power? Because they're not taught the relationship with God that brings it about. See, if they really knew the power of God, that the power of God was available, wouldn't they not want it? What do we have today? Charlie, you've been into a lot of the different churches. So have I. And what do we have? We have church after church after church, each one with a different traditional or, you know, tradition that they live on and work on. With time to work and men with such short lifespans, the devil, who knows full well the power of God within that word, the devil knows the word a lot better than we do. And he knows, you know, he finds new ways to talk men and women out of the awesome power within God's word. He finds new ways to do it, and especially since he knows what that word is able to do to him. The devil was defeated by the word of God in Christ. It was defeated because the man stood with it. But he was defeated by the word. He wasn't defeated by the strength of the man, Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus, who had all of God's spirit that a man could have, and who also was God's word, it tells us. He was God's word made flesh, or who became flesh. Well, you know, some translation says that he was made flesh, and some say that he became flesh, and you know what? One day I realized it don't matter. It's insignificant. It doesn't matter how it happened. In Hebrews 5:8, it says that Christ learned obedience by the things that he suffered. That would make sense. And in John 15:10, Jesus said, and listen to this. I thought about this the other day. He said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. John 15:10. Just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You mean he has to abide in his Father's love? In Revelation 3:21, we are told that if we overcome, we will sit with Christ in his throne as he overcame and is set down with the Father in his throne. What does that tell us about who he is? See, these things and lots of other things within the Scriptures make it pretty hard for the Son of God to be anything except a man. It makes it hard for him to be anything else. Who is pleased to call us his brethren. Hebrews 2:11, 2:12, and 2:17. See, to make Christ into something foreign to what God made him into is not only unscriptural, it's dishonest. And in fact, men try to make Christ fit their inherited doctrines rather than the Word of God, and again, which is also dishonest. Jesus said he was born and sent to bear witness to the truth. And as such, do you suppose that God is a stickler for the truth? Are we coming to that conclusion? And since God brought him forth and sent him out for that purpose, is that more evidence that God is a stickler for the truth? Well, anyway, we are to develop the nature of little children, but even so, we are still to be honest. Little children are not necessarily honest, but we are to remain honest before God's word. And what a shame when men spend a lifetime and never discover God. It's a shame. It's a shame to us, for us. Or that they never discover that the Bible is the eternal word of the living God. That's a shame. And I'm talking to us, and we haven't come that far ourselves. What a shame to spend years within a church system only to one day discover that what they taught was not really the true word of God. What a shame. There'll be weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth. I can understand that. And I'm afraid that that will be the story for many people. It's going to, you know, few there be that find it. You know why? Because few there be that look for it. Okay, I got in here again about Joshua on 8, which is more of God's ongoing exhortation to only go by his word. And I see so many scriptures that tell us that, you know, well, God says, you want to make it? Go by my word. Do you want to avoid calamity? Only go by my word. And so, he said, this book of the law, which later it says the law will be written in men's hearts, which is by the New Testament revealed, shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate upon it day and night. Now, is this not the gist of what we have discovered in and from God's word? God never set up weekend Christians who would worship God for an hour or two each week, and then the rest of their time belonged to them. God never set it up that way. I used to like it that way, but that's not what he set up. And so, in the last few years, I have had to make a lot of adjustments. And you know what? When you get to be 80, you don't have a lot of time for too many more. I mean, you don't know if you do. And you know what? It's not that I have it right yet, but I'm gaining momentum, and that's what we want. See, since God thought everything up, he thought up everything that exists. You know, we got to get that in our thinking somewhere. If God hadn't thought this up, it wouldn't exist. He thought it up, and then he made it. Oh, we made the pews, and we made the church, the buildings, and we cut down the trees, and we didn't. But you know what? God made the rest. We worked with what he made. But if he hadn't thought this all up, we wouldn't have it. And, you know, because he made it all, you know what? He seems to think he owns us. And the truth is, of course he does. The problem is, the devil works to hide this whole truth from a selfish creation. And so God seems to say, I created you so that in this life, by your attitude, you can enter into the glorious life that is eternal. You obey me. You learn to obey me. You make good decisions. You hear my word. You know what? The best decision that a man can make is to hear the word of God. That's the best one. That's number one. See, you can decide whether you want it or not. And if you don't want it, that's your choice. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. However, if you do want it, then this is what I expect out of you. Number one, I expect you to believe me. To believe in me and to believe me. I expect you to believe that the Bible is the truth of what I say. That's a hard one. And number three, I expect you to meditate upon these words day and night until a faith nature causes you to develop my living nature. See, remember what it says? By these exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers of his divine nature. Well, if you read this, if you keep this thing on you long enough, the nature of God will develop inside of you. And so, I expect you to overcome the things of this temporal life and earnestly desire the things that are not yet seen or known of mortal men. And of course, the list goes on and on. But that's what God, he expects this from us. Does he have a right to? And you know what? What are the options? Well, I don't want the other side. And of course, there is a substance and an evidence of all of these things, it's called faith. Faith is a substance, which somehow, since faith comes by the hearing of the Holy Spirit-led truth in God's Word, real faith then becomes a God-given substance. I want faith. And you know what? I realize that I can't understand how you get it. It doesn't make sense. But faith does come by hearing God's Word. And so if I want faith, I got to hear God's word. And if I hear the words of men, I'll have something, but it won't be faith. We may somehow open ourselves up to God, and yet only a God-given faith can allow us to respond. When I saw that the other night as we prayed for a couple of people, I thought, you know, people are going to come out of the woodwork. And somebody said, I think it was Gene this morning that made the statement that, no, it wasn't. It was somebody else. Well, yeah, she might have too. But the fact that while we're trying to save those that we love, our friends that we used to be part of the church and so forth, we don't know what God has in mind. We got to go by what he has in mind. And he may have a whole new crop, another bunch of people. And then those people, they have to fend for themselves. They got to come to God, you know. As I take a closer look at God's Word, I can't seem to find anything good within any of us that does not come to us from God. All good things that are within us come to us from God. And since the Holy Spirit was given so as to lead and guide men into all truth, would that not increase faith as we hear it? And would not increased faith be a major part of all truth? Would that be a truth element? Faith increasing in us? the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into a greater faith, a faith nature. And the faith that leads to hearing and, you know, that leads to the keep on hearing, or the hearing that causes faith, does it really matter? Does it matter if we have faith or not? Did I untag a letter? Did I twist it up pretty bad? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith comes by the hearing of God's word. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith comes by the hearing of God's word. Is it necessary to hear the word to have the faith that will cause us to believe God? You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like a catch-22. Is that the way they say that, catch-22? So, we are not really pawns in a giant chess game, but it feels like it. But we are pretty small in the overall plan of God. It's no wonder that God hates pride. I don't care who the man is. And what is man? Isn't that what the Bible says? I understand it. What is he? He's a flower that fades, a piece of grass that withers. He's here today and gone tomorrow. And, you know, an elephant kicks him and he's dead. And, you know, some big fat person rolls on him and kills him. You know what I mean? It's just any number of things that can happen. So if we know the love that God has for us and begin to experience a closeness to the Creator, then we are of all men blessed beyond measure. And so what is happening? I am beginning to feel the love of God that is coming down upon. I'm beginning to experience it. And it's foreign. You know, it's foreign to the church. Anyway, I'll turn this. Something else I want to.